Take our Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we'll be beginning reading with verse 36. I've heard many people through my time predict the Lord's return. I've heard many people try to predict the Lord's return, time it will be. The Jehovah's Witnesses have predicted it five times, and it's never happened. So, anyway, but it will happen. And I would like to title the message today. I usually have it written down up there on the screen for you. I'm sorry I didn't get it this time. But we'll take it from the 37th verse. As the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So as it was, so shall it be. We'll call it the title of that. As it was, so shall it be. Verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord will come. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. I'm thankful, Lord, that you came the first time, Lord, to deal with man's sin problem, to give atonement for sin, and to finish the work of redemption for humanity, which you did. Thank you, Lord. But I believe you're coming the second time to set up your kingdom and rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years of peace. And also, you will come, Lord, to pour out your wrath upon sin and completely take sin out of the world eventually. Thank you, Lord, for the great plan that you've given us. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our understanding to the truth of Scripture this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. As the days of Noah were, so shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. So as it was, so shall it be. Let's think for just a minute that Noah and his time was building the ark. It took him a long time to build it. And every day he just kept working on the ark, and I can think that the people there were thinking, what's this old man doing? You know, he's building a big boat out here in the middle of nowhere. There's no water. You know, does he really think it's going to rain enough to make this thing float? Because it was huge, the ark was. It had to hold, you know, two of every sort of animal and seven of unclean animals, or clean animals, seven. Man, and so it took a while for him to build it, but yet, regardless of what anybody said, he just kept on building the ark because he had received a word from God to do so, because your family will be saved, because if you'll be obedient to me, God says, and then you'll have some reason, you'll have a safe place to be, because there would be no other safe place on the planet. Man. And so, I don't think Noah ever preached a sermon on global warming, but he did preach a worldwide flood and judgment coming on the world. And he had eight in his church. He started with eight, and when he got through, he still had eight. Nobody was converted. They wouldn't let him speak at a church growth seminar today. However, how were the days of Noah? So let's look at this for just a moment. Verse 38 says, from the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were carrying on a normal way of life, eating, drinking, having weddings, having funerals probably, and everything seemed normal for the people of that time. But there was a reason that God was going to bring a flood on the earth, and that's because not everything was okay. The world had gone corrupt. It had come to the level where God had to judge it in his righteousness and justice and holiness. Let me tell you something. We hear a lot about the love of God, and God is love. The Bible defines him as that. But also, God is the God of justice, holiness, and righteousness. And so there is a time when sin rises to the point where God has to judge it in his righteousness and his holiness for who he is. Amen. And so everything was going as normal here. However, in the midst of a thing going in the normal way of life here, Noah was preaching a day of judgment. And they thought nothing seriously about Noah when his family entered the ark. And I can only imagine what people would say if there was a news report today, you know, said that old man's been working on that ark for so long, now he's getting in the ark as if something's going to happen, really. But he did, he entered the ark. But there was a reason why that God planned it this way and planned this global judgment that way. It's because the flesh or mankind had corrupted his way upon the earth. And if we look back in the book of Genesis chapter 6, we'll find there the reason why that God was sending a flood. Genesis 6 and 1 says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God," that would be the angels, "of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord says, My spirit shall not always strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." This is why God would bring judgment. Because all flesh had corrupted itself. And God was sorry that he made man upon the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And when God saw what sin had done to his creation, it grieved him in his heart. And so God had no other choice in his righteousness and holiness but to judge the earth, for all flesh had corrupted itself. And so that's the reason for judgment coming. And no one paid attention to Noah's preaching. They just kept on ignoring God. We see the sons of God and the daughters of men here that they intermarried, produced a race of people of giants, large people, big people. We can find this throughout Scripture. And you can think whatever you want to think about then, but the Bible says it's what it was. And this may have been Satan's way to corrupt the human race, to pervert God from bringing Christ through humanity for salvation and deliverance from sin, guilt, and eternal punishment. There may not have been a plan of redemption, because you see, for the devil and fallen angels, there's no plan of redemption. But for humanity, there is. And so Christ would have to come in humanity. God would have to become man to come down and dwell in a flesh and blood body like you and I have, and live a completely sinless life. And he would have to die and pay the death penalty for our sins for there to be a way for you and I to be saved. So God loved us a lot when he came down and became humanity. The Bible says in John chapter 1, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, so we know that God came down. So this may have been Satan's way to pervert the human race where there couldn't be a perfect sacrifice in humanity. But today there is great perversion in the world. I don't have to tell you that for you to know it, but I'll tell you anyway, in case you forgot, since the news. Immorality runs unrestrained in our nation. Human trafficking is at a high level. Terrorism has no value for human life whatsoever. And believers today being tortured and killed because they are Christians, because they name the name of Christ. Not that they've done any crime, it's just that they are considered not worthy to live in some parts of the world because they are Christians and they name the name of Christ. And you see, just as evil cried out for judgment in Noah's day, I believe there's a godless world crying out for judgment in our day. If we go back to the book of Genesis, the first couple of chapters there, we'll find that Cain and Abel, two sons of Adam and Eve, we know that Cain, he was a tiller of soil, and he grew vegetables, and he brought the Lord an offering of vegetables. There was nothing wrong with that. It was the way he offered it was what was wrong. And Abel was a keeper of flock. He was a shepherd, And he brought a blood sacrifice. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. And it made Cain really angry. And he killed or murdered his brother, the first murder in the scripture, because of that. And so we know that he didn't show a value for human life that God created. We know that Cain went out, the Bible says he went out from the presence of the Lord, and he went out never to return to the presence of the Lord. And today we have a godless world crying out for God's judgment, and Abel's blood cried out for judgment to God. God told Cain, said, "What have you done? The blood of your brother cries out from the ground for me." God says, "I've got to judge you." Okay, so we know that Abel's blood cried out. And a church today, a church world, so caught up in materialism, too busy for God, how long? People will answer to God. God has an appointed day when he's going to require people to answer to him. Okay? And I know that God, Jesus died on the cross to take the judgment for our sins. I realize that. He did. But that doesn't give you and I, the church, the license to go sin all we want to, or all the flesh wants to. I want to tell you, God saved us to be delivered from the pursuit of sin, to be in the pursuit of righteousness. And so we know that Paul preached to a group of people, the Athenians at Mars Hill, and he says to the people there, he says, "I've walked by and I've seen the gods that you serve," and he said, "I found a idol made to an unknown God." And he said, "I'm going to tell you about this unknown God." And there he preached Christ to them. They didn't know anything about Jesus, but Paul preached it to them. God would establish eventually a church there. And Paul tells them, he says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent, to turn from their idols, to turn from their wickedness, to turn from their sins. God requires people to repent. Because he has appointed a day, just like he did in Noah's day, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to all of this to all by raising him from the dead." He was speaking of Jesus there. Okay, so we know that there in the days of Noah, there was a time of judgment. God had had enough, and God says, "These people have come to the level of judgment in my righteousness. I can do nothing else but judge the world. I'm going to send a flood on the earth." He said, "Noah, you're the only one righteous before me. You're the only one that's found grace in my eyes. I want you to build an ark. I want you to build an ark for the saving of your house. I want you to escape the judgment because I've got to, in my righteousness, judge the world." And this time sin cried out to God's judgment. It was a message of pending judgment that was ignored. They did not believe the preaching of Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, but they didn't have any use for his preaching. And God sent a message and sent a messenger. Well, why did God do this all of a sudden? God didn't do this all of a sudden. There were many years in which mankind would fall to the need to be judged for his sin. God would rather always to show mercy, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is love. Praise the Lord. But when people refuse what God has done, then he has no choice but to judge. So there was a message and a messenger, but how many today ignore the preaching of the cross? They've heard of it, and they simply choose to reject their own sinful condition and their need for repentance and reconciliation with God? There's many people that way. Jesus talks about this, Matthew 21:34, where he says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." I'll tell you something, there's another global judgment coming. And he says, tells the people, and he tells you and I today, "Watch therefore and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." God is saying, "I'm going to judge this earth. I'm going to bring judgment on the wickedness of this world. Things that are going the way they are and the wickedness are not going to go on forever. I'm going to judge it one day." But he said, "Pray that you're worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." That is a clear indication that God does not want you to go through the tribulation period. He wants you to call out to him. He wants you to walk with him, serve him, so that when he does come and so that when he does rapture the church out, you'll be ready to go up at any time. Whether it's today, 10 years from now, or whenever it will be, You'll never predict it, but God's coming. We need to live like he's coming today because he may come today. And so we see that that's the way the days of Noah were and much the way ours are today. Second of all, the unexpected happens suddenly. If you've got a concordance in your Bible, sometime when you get home, not now, please, but look up the word suddenly and see how many times it appears in Scripture. Several times, you know. And God would do a sudden thing here. There was a suddenly when God poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as rushing mighty wind. Several suddenlies in Scripture. Okay? But the unexpected suddenly happens here. Imagine if you can, the people were carrying on their normal day of life. The women got up and planned meals for their household. I guess they did then. Still do. And so I won't preach on that. Stop right there. Anyway, they were carrying on a normal day of life. And suppose it was a day just like today. But a day of a life without the preaching of Word of God and a people who would not yield to God's preaching in Noah's day. They were living a life of unbelief that God would do anything, a life that they thought would just go on indefinitely, and that one day something might happen, but it wasn't going to be the way Noah preached it. And it wasn't going to rain, and God wasn't going to send a global judgment. After all, we haven't done anything all that bad anyway, have we? That's what you hear people say. But God thought it was bad enough. All flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. There was not one person who was serving or living for God or trying to do right or going in righteousness. They were perverted people. And God said, I can't take this anymore. I can't extend my mercy on people who will not repent. And a lot of times people just ignore the precious cross of Christ, his salvation, and the means that God has made that we can be saved. And people today, when signs of the end are undeniable, still ignore Christ, his work on the cross. Many people use Jesus or Christ as a cuss word. God forbid. And laugh at his promised return and laugh and mock at God's word and its warnings. And there are people in our society today that do not believe anything the Bible says, nor do they believe that there is a judgment coming. No, but if they think things will just go on just like they've always been. And it was prophesied in Scripture of this. In the book of 1 Peter, it says, there will be scoffers in the last days who will say, where is the promise of his return? For all things continue as they were from the beginning of time. There are people that say that. Nothing's going to change. It's going to go on just the way it's been. But I can tell you, God is not forever going to put up with wickedness. God is not going to forever put up with people killing his children and persecution and killing them and that have called upon his name. God is not going to forever put up with it. There's going to come a day when God will judge the world in righteousness by Christ, whom he's raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. Today, atheism and unbelief strongly are promoted in our society. Now, I've often wondered, you know, how could you be foolish enough to try to spend your life denying somebody you don't believe in? Did that make any sense? No. Or how could you spend your life trying to prove to people there's not a God when you're outnumbered? Because, you see, we live in a religious world. There's lots of religions all over the world. People is in religion is merely man's search for God. But it reaches its fulfillment when people turn to Christ. Because there's only one God, not many gods. Just one, the creator of heaven and of earth. And so there are people that laugh, no doubt, at Noah, at his preaching. In our day, a generation plagued by unbelief, there's people that will laugh at you if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, claim there's a way of eternal life and the way of salvation, and they will really get mad at you and laugh at you if you say there's an eternal judgment, there's a heaven that's going to, that for people that are righteous, that have accepted Christ, and there's a burning hell for those who do not, who reject God. Both of those are true. And so it's laughed in our society today, but God called Noah and his family into an ark. There was a day when God said to Noah, okay, you've got this boat built, you've got the ark built. I want you and your family to go into the ark. They didn't put it off and say, we got plenty of time. Hadn't rained in a long time. And it's surely not going to rain enough to float this boat. But Noah, they by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of God. This is a scripture. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Okay? So we know that he prepared a place. He believed what God had said. He said, it may not rain, and I may be wrong about this, but I know that God has spoken to me, so I'm going to get ready. If God said build an ark, I don't care how silly it may look, I'm going to build an ark. I'm going to get ready, and if some rain starts coming, me and my family will be spared. We'll be prepared. Many people are not like today. We can see a world judgment that's coming upon this world, and you say, well, that's not good news. There is good news. Jesus saves, and Jesus lives, and Jesus delivers from sin, but there is a judgment coming up on this world, and people can just say, well, it won't happen in my lifetime, or it will never happen to me, or God's not going to treat people that way. But let me tell you, friend, God is a God of righteousness, holiness, and justice, and he is a God who wants to judge sin and will judge sin and has to judge sin. But he wanted you and I to escape his judgment so strongly that he loved us enough to give us a means by which we could be saved from judgment. He did that when he died on the cross and paid the death penalty for our sins. And that he rose again from the dead to guarantee our eternal life. And so, God told Noah, said, I want your family to get into the ark. And we know the Lord shut him in. And Noah's family believed that judgment day was coming. And so they all went into the ark. It was too late, friend, for people to repent. It was too late for people to suddenly become interested in God and their sinful condition. The rains of God's judgment began to fall. All the mockers, I'm sure there were some, and all the people that had rejected the preaching of Noah said, yeah, it's sprinkling outside. But 40 days, the rains would never stop. It would rain upon the earth. The fountains of the deep from under the earth would be broken up. And the floods would rise over every high hill and mountaintop in all of the whole planet. And nothing would survive except the animals in the ark and the people in the ark. That's all that would survive. It was too late to repent. Amen. The earth was covered with water, nothing living except Noah and his family that believed God. This was the judgment of God, and nothing could stop it. This judgment was complete and thorough. It covered all the earth. For those people of that day, it was the last time for many things that they would do for the last time. It was the last day any adultery would be committed. It was the last time anything would be stolen. It was the last time anyone would covet his neighbor's possessions. It was the last time anyone would be murdered. All sin and sinners had come under God's judgment. My friend, let me tell you something. Be ready to leave this world when Jesus calls. Don't wait around for somebody else to explain it some different way. God has it very straightly, very strongly supported in Scripture the way he wants you and I to understand it. Amen. If we read this, 1 Thessalonians, it's in my Bible this morning. There it is. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, suddenly. Amen. For when they say peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, the church, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Because we ought to be looking for him. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, spiritually. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. And so there will come a time when nothing else matters except being right with God. When possessions are useless and worthless. Imagine a day, I doubt very seriously if those people started looking for their latest trinket that they bought at the dollar store or wherever they buy it. They probably didn't have Dollar General then. But I doubt if they said, oh, you know, this precious thing that I have here, I'm not about to let it go under. You know, I can't do without it. But they would do without everything. And imagine a day just like today. People awake, people listen to the news, people go to work. Druggies plan their next theft or to support their habit. The immoral plan their next affair. A sinner buys his weekend supply of alcohol at Brookshire's. And then suddenly it happens. Thousands are missing. One taken, the other left. One cashier's gone from Brookshire's. I'm not picking on Brookshire's. Be from Walmart too. And amen. And then suddenly it happens. Suddenly nothing means anything but where you were with God. And there are people that have attended church for half of their life, never got right with God, never truly repented or given their heart to Jesus, and they'll be the only ones that attend show up for church Sunday. And they will know what happened. But when judgment from God will be poured out on this world that has rejected God's gracious offer of salvation and deliverance for the last time, it'll be a time when judgment will spread up over this world. There's a warning given, no doubt, in Revelation 6:15. One of the sealed judgments are open, the last one. And this will be after the rapture of the church. You'll already be in heaven. But it says there, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? My friend, what a day that will be. Amen. It'll be good news for people that are ready to meet God, but for people that have put God off and done wrong things and refused to change their life, refused to turn to God, have not gotten serious about the things of God, and just gave God a tip and attended church a Sunday every now and then, Christmas and Easter, and just somehow or another they think they're good enough to make it, but you won't make it without the righteousness of Christ. You won't make it without confessing your sin and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But those who do, my friend, you'll be ready to go, and you'll be glad to leave everything here behind to somebody else. Hallelujah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. God is telling his church, be ready. It's time to be prepared. It's time to be looking. It's time to expecting the Lord's return. In the book of Hebrews it says, to those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The first time he came to deal with the idea of sin in our life, not just the problem of sin in humanity. He came to deal with it, and he did. And Jesus stood there and took it when everybody said awful things about him at the cross. When the religious people of the day mocked him, when they spit upon him and treated him every awful way a human being could be treated. And we see the wickedness of man there at the cross as they crucified him. But also as Jesus prayed for the soldiers that drove the spikes in his wrist that would hold him to the cross, and in his feet that would make him be nailed in a place where he would bleed slowly and die a long, painful death as possible. That's what sinful humanity does. That's how wicked humanity. But Jesus at that time was dying for the sins of those very people, and he would have saved them if they had repented and turned to him. And so God is able to save the worst. Amen. People may feel like they hadn't been that bad, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no sort of saved people on the earth. Amen. Either lost or saved. You're either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory, and somebody's going to pray you out. That's not going to happen. It's not in the Bible to start with, and it's false. You're either ready to meet God or you're not. As it was then, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. It's time to be ready to meet God, for he may come today. Amen.